Praise the Lord, everyone. You have never seen me before, and I've never seen you before. And you're wondering if you're going to like me. But then I'm wondering if I'm going to like you. That's how it really is. That's how it really is. But you know something? If you and I could sit down together, and if we could talk, and if I could tell you every time that I have been lonely, every time that I have felt empty, every time that people have done me wrong, and you could tell me those things about yourself, you know something? We'd like each other. We would. There'll never be time for all of that, but there doesn't have to be. What I feel here tonight is enough to pull us together, to make us something in the power of the Spirit that can effect a tremendous change in our lives before these next few nights are over. When I came into this area, when the plane came down on the ground, I said, I enter this area in Jesus' name. And I felt something powerful come to me in that jet. We're headed for a great time. The Lord is going to do great things in this place. Would you lift your hands and just worship the Lord for a moment? Lord Jesus, tonight we thank you for the wonderful presence of God that we feel in this place. Would you, O Lord, touch our minds and our hearts? Help us to feel the tenderness and the power of your Spirit. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's a great privilege to be here. You probably belong to one of the most famous churches in all the world. I've heard so much about you folks and so many things about Brother and Sister Haney, and I'm delighted to meet them. I would like for you to turn in your Bible tonight with me to Acts chapter 2. I want to talk to you tonight about something called revival. Everyone say revival. Revival. You have had it, you're having it, and you're going to have more of it in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Most of you know that by heart. In Acts 2 and 41, the Bible says, then they that gladly, everyone say gladly, gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The Bible says in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed, everyone say, I believe, were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, everyone say daily,
daily,
such as should be saved. I would like you to pray with me tonight before you are seated that the Lord will do exactly with you what he wants to do with you in this place. Lord Jesus, we stand in the awesome presence of a living God. We come to this place in the holy, wonderful name of Jesus. Let your Spirit, O Lord, permeate our minds and our hearts and our souls. Walk in the aisles of this place. Let us not escape, O Lord, untouched or unchanged. I am praying tonight by the power of the Spirit that you will anoint these lips of clay and cause me to speak as the oracle of the Lord. We will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these things in the matchless, resplendent, all-powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Elah Shataya. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap together before you are seated. Jesus, hallelujah. of Jesus. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Let's do that one more time. I think we can do it better than that. Everybody, clap your hands unto the Lord. The Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. This is our heritage. This belongs to us. This is our right. You will not find this in pseudo-Christianity, but among those who know him in spirit and in truth. You will find the people of the Lord clapping their hands, lifting their voices, shouting unto the Lord, for he is great and he is greatly to be praised. We know him, and of his kingdom there shall never be an end. There is none like him, neither in heaven nor in earth. Never has there been, there never will be. We know him. We have a right to do this. And so we do it tonight at the beginning of this meeting with no apology to anybody. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If 3,000 people were saved every hour, it would take 40 years to reach the present unreached. And if after 40 years had expired and we had not ceased to reach them at 3,000 per hour, day and night, what then would happen to the more than 125,000 that were born every 24-hour period during that 40-year duration? If you can grasp anything of the statistic that I have just given you, you will understand that we have not done what we need to do in this world, and that the church is not meeting the challenge, and that you and I alone are those that God has invested this tremendous truth into our hands, into our knowledge. Something has got to happen. We have got to do something that we have never done before. It has got to go not only to the ministry, but it's got to go to the pew. Something has got to happen where you sit. Something has got to happen in your life individually, not only conglomerately, but something has got to happen for us as individuals. We have got to pick up something called a burden, and we have got to become fanatic in these end hours if we are ever going to reach this present world. We need more than just repentance and people being baptized in Jesus' name. Granted, those are wonderful things, but we need people being filled with the Holy Ghost and holiness. We need a revival. There is a great difference between revival and reformation. We could have a reformation within these four walls during the nights that I am with you and the days that I am with you. We could have a move of God. People could weep and cry and dance and shout. You could reform your life. You could reconsecrate and rededicate. You could determine to do better than you've ever done before. And that would be great and that would be glorious. And that would be a reformation. It would be a move of God. But it might not necessarily be a real revival. Revival is when the Spirit of God goes out of these walls and begin to touch the hearts of sinners. And people who do not know God come from every walk of life. And they are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, and the power and the glory and the wonder of God. That is real revival. And you've had that, and there is more on its way for you. We many times think about miracles, and I've seen a lot of miracles. I saw some. I just came from New Orleans from a fantastic singles conference where there were tumors that disappeared, eyes were healed, ears snapped open, all kinds of things happened. We think of those things as being miracles, and they are miracles. We think of miracles as people walking out of wheelchairs and people throwing down crutches, and those things are miracles. But I'm here to tell you tonight as a man of God that the greatest miracle that God is performing in our day is this business of speaking with tongues. This business of speaking with tongues is the greatest miracle that God has ever performed. For example, when I was in high school, in college, and in Bible school, I took a year and a half of French. May I say to you, it is very difficult to learn a foreign language. For one thing, the idioms are different than they are in the English language. There are many strange sounds that are meaningless to you unless you relate them with objects or things or what you know in the English language. And in the French language, if you have a good head cold, you'll do much better because most of it comes right through the nose, right here. And so I'm saying to you, it is a difficult thing to learn a foreign language and to speak it intelligently so that you can communicate with other people. But as a man of God tonight, I am saying to you that when you receive the Spirit of God, when the omnipotent, omniscient God cradles himself alive in the bosom of your soul, you will speak in a language unknown to you. That is a miracle. I was standing in a small home missionary church in New York State one night. I was not speaking. I was there to hear the word of the Lord. I was in the back, near the back, over to the side, and I was worshiping the Lord, and I began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord moved upon me and blessed me. There was a college student in that congregation that night, not far from me. He was an agnostic. At the end of the service, he came to me, and he said, "Mister, I want to talk to you." I said to him, "I would be very happy to talk with you." He said, "You speak beautiful Latin." I said, "I do." He said, yes, of course you do. I said, would you mind telling me what I said? He looked a little dumbfounded, but he was very cooperative. He said, you told me how great God was, how real he was, how wonderful he was. And he said, I want to know where you learned to speak Latin that way. I said, I've never learned to speak Latin that way. What you have heard is a miracle from God. God spoke to you tonight to let you know that you're in the presence of a living God. Just before I came to New Orleans for this conference and on my way here, in my own church where I pastor in Schenectady, New York, there was a Jewish girl there. I did not know who she was. She came at the end of the service for deliverance, and I prayed for her, just a very simple prayer, and began to speak with tongues. And as I prayed for her, I felt her body shudder. And at the end of the service, when I stopped praying, she came back to me, and she had been questioning some other people. I'd watched her. She said to me, do you speak Hebrew? I said, no, I don't. She said, well, when you prayed over me tonight, you spoke Hebrew. She said, I'm Jewish. I learned it as a child. She said, you spoke Hebrew to me, and you told me that God was going to deliver me and that he was going to set me free. I said, then he will do it. And if God has spoke it, he will do it. It doesn't matter if I understand it or not. It matters whether you understand it. And you can feel a witness of something going on in your soul. I feel a tremendous witness of something in my heart and in my soul here tonight. It is something called the Holy Ghost. It is the moving of the Spirit of the Almighty God. He is alive. He is real. He is tangible. You can feel that, and weariness is beginning to fall away. I can feel something beginning to recede and leave this sanctuary. I feel something coming from above us that is called the rest and the refreshing. There's a picking up in the Spirit in this place, and you can feel the power and the magnitude of something that is beyond human understanding and reasoning and logic. Let's clap again for the Lord and worship him, because he is worthy. Jesus, the greatest miracle that God is performing in our day is pouring out the baptism of the Holy Ghost upon people. And many people are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and being miraculously healed physically at the very same time. I want to say to you tonight that great downpours of the Holy Ghost are possible. You know that. You understand that. But first, we must find the harvest. One of the reasons that I consented to come here, not because of Brother Haney or because of you, but because I am a harvester and I feel something in the Spirit when I thought about this particular area. You have been here, I understand, 50 years. Do you know how much seed has been sown? Do you understand how much watering has been done? You cannot harvest where there has not been any plowing, where there has not been any sowing, where there's not been any watering. But you are headed for something here bigger than what you've already seen. God is not forgetful of your sacrifice. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and your reward is on the way. You have already had a shattering of it, but there is more. There is more. There is more. And you cannot stop at what you've reached. You have got to go beyond where you are and reach something that is astronomical and glorious and wonderful. There is a harvest in this area. A tremendous harvest. There's a songwriter that wrote and said, bring many vessels and not a few. There is enough Holy Ghost in this place tonight to fill every individual in this entire city of Stockton if they were here and if they really wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's enough power in this place to do anything, everything, all things. Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. If I did not believe that, I would check out of this tonight. But I have seen enough to keep me going until I see him in the clouds of glory. And what I don't see, I've got faith for it because of what I've already seen. I want to talk to you tonight about the qualities of one who prays people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Number one, you must have a burden for souls. If you did not have a burden for souls, I can feel a tremendous burden for souls in Brother Haney. There's something in his spirit that is deep. There's something in his spirit that reaches out. Even to you as a shepherd and sheep, he knows that are already saved for the most part. I still feel something reaching in his voice to you. Something that will lift you, that will lead you, that will guide you, that will bring you closer and deeper. There is something that has to be in a human heart that has a burden for the lost. I have had people come to me, drawn to me, not even knowing why they were drawn to me. They will not be drawn to you because of words. They will be drawn to you because of a burden that they feel inside of you. There is something that is emanated from you. They can feel that, and they are drawn to you, and they want you to help them. They want you to talk to them. They want you to lay hands upon them. I have been in this thing for 21 years. I want you to know, in 21 years, I have heard some of the greatest preaching that human ears could ever hear. I've heard the most tremendous allegories. I've heard the most tremendous parallels, the deepest things come out of the Word of God. I've heard orators get in pulpits and preach masterpieces. But nobody got saved. And there's a reason for that. Some preachers pray hours and hours and hours for sermons, and God answers prayer, and he will give you sermons, tremendous sermons. Some of those same preachers do not have a burden for souls. There is a vast difference. I've heard other preachers get in a pulpit and murder the King's English. But when they gave an altar call, I've seen sinners come running and screaming and throw themselves at an altar and roll over or fall over and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because that man has a burden for souls. You may think you're a nobody, and you may be a nobody. Most of us were nobodies going nowhere. Do you understand that? I was a nobody. I lived in Nowheresville. I lived on Dead End Street, and my house number was zero. But when Jesus came walking down the road of my life, friend, something began to happen for me that had never happened at any other time in my entire existence. And when he came in, something was transformed and changed in me that has never ever been able to be conquered by the forces of evil or the forces of darkness. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And if you have a burden for souls, you are a candidate for one of the most exciting lives that you can possibly imagine. I'm telling you tonight, there's not one in here that can hear my voice that cannot be gloriously used by God. God has allowed me to pray thousands through to the Holy Ghost. That is not enough. I need you. You need to get involved in this also. God has called you to something more than what you're doing. You must have faith that they will receive the Holy Ghost. If you're praying with someone at an altar or wherever you're praying with them, if you do not have faith they're going to receive the Holy Ghost, they will not get it. They don't really hear what you say anyway, but they feel what's in your heart. If you have a burden for them, if you are transmitting faith, that is the thing that they pick up. I made the mistake one night of saying to a brand new convert at an altar after he received the Holy Ghost, he was laughing and worshiping the Lord and talking in English again after about an hour or so. I said to him, it was a stupid thing for me to do. I said to him, how did you like my message tonight? Because, you know, sometimes you think you've done decent. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like I'd done decent that night. I said, how did you like my message? He said, sir, I never heard a word you said. He said, but there was something that got a hold of me in here. I've never asked that question again. I don't care if they hear anything, just so they feel what I know is real and tangible in God. The devil does not want you to get a hold of what I'm talking about tonight. But if you can grasp what I'm saying, and if you will begin to put it into operation, your life can be transformed. This place can be absolutely fanatical all of the time, all of the time, all of the time. You'll never have to get them to worship. They'll come through the doors practically swinging. You don't have any chandeliers here, but anyway, you'll be swinging. There'll be something that will be moving in your heart and in your soul. And when you really get a hold of God, there's nothing like this in all the world. There's nothing to compare with this. You know it. I know it, but they don't know it. But if they get in our presence, they will understand that. And they will want it. We cannot reach people on an intellectual level. You've got to reach them with faith. We need desperately the demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. You must really believe a person is going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Many times when I am praying among many people to receive the Holy Ghost, I can feel something ebb away from me. There's no point in praying any longer for anybody. I will stop. I will lift my hands, and what I'm doing is I'm getting refilled with something that I need to transmit to them. Many times I will stop and go to God personally so that the right thing is in here to transmit to them. I've watched people stand at altars and pray and looking all around or talking about something else. You're a waste to me and a waste to God and a waste to the kingdom. It's a birth chamber. This is a hospital. People are in desperate straits in this place. This is a birth chamber all across here, all back there. Something has to happen when we come together in the name of Jesus Christ. Something needs to happen when we come together like this. And if it doesn't, we have missed it. But where two or three are gathered together, what is it? He is in the midst of them to do something powerful and wonderful. Many times when I'm in revivals, even in my own church sometimes, there'll be a person, a stranger, walk in, and God will speak to me while I'm on the platform and say, I'm going to give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. It's only a matter of getting through the preliminaries until you get your hands on them. You know what I'm saying? It's only a matter of just getting through the preliminaries. I have known many times that sinners were going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God wants them to have it more than they want to receive it. One of the reasons I'm so weary today, or was so weary today, is because I witnessed for 3 hours from New Orleans all the way here to a Baptist man who sat beside me. He had never heard anything like what I told him, and I let him have it. I gave it to him, and he could feel something. And I've got his address. God is trying to do something with us. We need a new and closer look at the New Testament. What does the New Testament really say about all of this? We are Pentecostal. Everyone say Pentecostal. But we are very traditional. We have many traditions among us that are not really biblical at all. For example, the New Testament really does not talk much about altars. Now, the Old Testament does, but the New Testament does not talk much about altars at all. I really feel in my heart that Wesley, the Methodist, for example, those groups, they are the ones that helped us to come to altars, wooden rails, platforms, whatever. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the real altar is not down here. The real altar is in here. This is where you do your kneeling. This is where you do your bowing. This is where you really make up your mind that you will serve the Lord. It's in here, right here. Satan has stolen our faith, and he has worn us out with physical exercise. He has substituted physical exercises for the real thing. The Bible says they tarried for the Holy Ghost before Pentecost. After that, they laid hands upon them and they spake with tongues, or it fell on them while the preaching was going forth. I know of a case, no names and no locations, all right? I know of a case where a young man came to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He came down front. He was standing. He had his hands raised. Somehow or other, the saints around him became very, shall we say, inspired. Inspired has many sources. Anointing has only one, but these people were inspired. And they got very excited about this young man praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that is good. That is not bad. But somehow or other, this group sort of got divided. Like there was one group over here and one group on this side of him. And they got to sort of pushing him a little bit, and he got to swaying, and they got more inspired. They got more excited. Do you understand what I'm saying? And after a while, these two groups sort of got separated. The distance between these two groups got greater and greater, but the young man praying for the Holy Ghost was still in between these two groups. And literally, they got to throwing him back and forth from one side to another. He got the Holy Ghost, not because of us, but in spite of us. I want you to know that there are people who get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not because of us, but in spite of it. Some people get the Holy Ghost in self-defense. When I came into this 21 years ago, They took off my tie. They took my coat off. They would massage my shoulders. They had their hands all over my head. I had more hair then than I do now. It would mess it up. When I got out of there, I looked like I'd come through a washing machine wringer. I want you to know that is not scripture. That is not Bible. That's us. That's not really God. That's just us. It has worked. But listen, people, we've got to get a hold of something that is apostolic. We've got to get a hold of something that is Book of Acts. We've got to get a hold of something that's not so physical, that we will not be so exhausted and so worn out. In another church, there was a man who came and prayed for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. One of the young people there got a hold of him, his ribs like this, and he had his hands up, and they were going up and down on his ribs, and the man began to jump around and laugh. They thought he's getting a blessing. Listen, if someone gets a hold of your rib cage and goes up and down your rib cage, you're going to jump around a little bit too, and you're going to laugh. He got the baptism of the Holy Ghost finally, but it was not because of us. This is good whether you like it or not, okay? Let's give the Lord a hand clap again and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We need tonight something wonderful to happen for us that is simple and glorious and Bible and apostolic. There's a great difference between consecration and criticism. There's one of two things people will do when they are exposed to apostolic ministry. They will either consecrate their lives and get it, or they will sit back and they will criticize. It is easier to criticize than it is to consecrate and get it for yourself. You will be under criticism here because of 2,000 or more receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But they could get a hold of what you have a hold of if they would consecrate and get it. But it is easier to criticize. Forget their criticism. March on. Go on to greater things, bigger things, more glorious things. And do it! In Jesus' name. Sometimes we have faith for one or two to get the Holy Ghost. We need to rise above small matters and believe God for whole households. We need to believe God for every sinner that walks through the door, every service you have here, whether I'm here or not. When they come through the doors, you need to begin to believe God that before the service is over, they will have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues. Believe for everybody that's here, man, woman, boy, and girl, child, believe! The medical profession has discovered something. They have discovered that if hands that belong to a nurse that is well are laid upon patients who are ill, that there is something transmitted from the nurse to the patient. In New York State, they are practicing this. Something is transmitted that actually causes the patient who is sick to become better. They took a photograph of a hand and they have these waves on film that emanate from a hand, that there's something that is literally transmitted from a nurse that is well to a patient that is ill. People, if the medical society understand something about laying on of hands to bring help to those who are disabled and who are sick, what should we do with the scripture that says they had a doctrine of the laying on of hands? We need to recover something. We need to dig deep and search out this treasure and pull something back for ourselves that seemingly is lost. And the Bible says, don't you forget this, these signs shall follow them that believe. It does not say preachers or ministers or Sunday school teachers. It says anybody that believes. Anybody that believes in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. It concludes by saying they, believers, shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You have a tremendous potential. It's reasonable for me to assume that if I am full of the Holy Ghost and living for God, and someone is wanting God, and I lay hands upon them, it is reasonable for me to understand that something is transmitted to them. In the conference I just came from, There was a large church conference upstairs. I don't know, thousands of people were there. We were a smaller conference downstairs. Some of the members of that conference came downstairs. The woman, there was a woman, one of the women that came down from the other conference. At the end of the whole service, she had watched everything, was seated back there. She sent someone to ask me if I would pray for her to get the Holy Ghost. And I said, certainly. I walked back to her, and she stood before me, and she said to me, she said, am I going to fall out? I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think so this time. She said, I want this Holy Ghost. I said, do you believe in Jesus? She said, yes. I said, do you love God? She said, yes. I said, then you are a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I laid hands upon her in 10 seconds. That woman was speaking with tongues clearly, fluently, beautifully. And then she began to tremble and to shake under the power of God. Let's clap again for the Lord. Let your faith rise tonight to the realm that God wants it to rise to. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everyone say repentance. The word repent comes from the Hebrew word shuvah, which means to turn around and come back to your God. In Pentecost, I know, because I've lived in it 21 years, as many of you have, and longer, we demand everyone that comes to our services to repent at our altars. We demand it. But I want to talk to you about repentance. Repentance is simply a commitment in your heart to walk with God. I've preached all over this country and out of this country. I've seen sinners come to an altar and cry for an hour, tears flooding their face. They'd fill their handkerchief, my handkerchief, and somebody else's handkerchief. An hour and a half, 2 hours later, get up and walk out of there and live like the devil. That is not repentance. They're not sorry for their sin. They're sorry because they cannot sin. And they're struggling with that thing at an altar. But we want them to weep and we want them to cry. The reason is because we did. And we want them to be dragged through what we were dragged through. I have watched prominent people come from pews like you're sitting tonight without any show of emotion at all and come down front and simply lift their hands and begin to worship God and begin to speak with tongues, and then the tears would begin to flow. If a person is willing to come from where they are seated to an altar of prayer before everybody else, they must want something. There's something in their heart that's reaching toward God. There is something in their heart that is happening. And we can accurately interpret that as repentance. You must be sorry for your sin. You must repent. You cannot get the Holy Ghost without repenting. It is impossible to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost without repenting. You cannot get the Holy Ghost without repenting. Say cannot. Cannot. You cannot. But repentance is a very simple thing. We've lost a lot of people in Pentecost because prominent people, businessmen, show people have come and they have looked at what we go through and they think, I could never get through that. But you get them filled with the Holy Ghost, they'll do anything then because they really don't care. But when they just look at it, they don't want it. That was my impression when I first came to a Pentecostal service. I said, if I ever get out of here alive, I am never, ever coming back. And that was exactly how I felt about it. In fact, I used to pray for that Pentecostal church. I thought it was so pitiful. They were small. They needed help and all that business. I say, oh, God, help these people. Send them members. They're so pitiful and they're so small. And I kept going to my own church. One day God spoke to me and said, if you're so interested in those people, I'll help them. I'll send you. And here I am. I helped pray myself into this situation because I felt sorry for you. I don't feel sorry for you anymore. This is the greatest thing in all of the world. And something has got to happen to get us catapulted out of where we are until we become reckless and daring and do it for Jesus. When I first came into Pentecost, I did not repent all over again. I was repented already in an evangelical free church. I prayed every morning. I prayed every night. I read my Bible every day. I always believed there was only one God. I never did believe in the Trinity. A lot of people out there don't. A lot of people do not believe in the Trinity. Their basic concept is one God, and Jesus is that God. It's when you begin to nitpick with all this stuff that you confuse them. The theologians are the one that push this. The Catholics and the Assembly of God. The Assembly of God Church is the most ardent Trinitarian group in the world. But basically, people don't believe that. I used to go door to door and ask people to come to my church. That is more than some Pentecostals do. And I did that before I came into this. When I came to Pentecost, my struggle was not to repent. My struggle was to accept and embrace greater truth. And I struggled with it, and I struggled with it, until finally I got it. But I did not repent all over again. I was already repented someplace else. The streets of your city have a lot of people walking in them that are already repented. If a person is a believer in Jesus, the Holy Ghost is for believers. The Holy Ghost is not for sinners. It is for believers. And if you believe in Jesus and you love God, you are automatically a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You ought to get it very quickly. Very quickly. I was preaching a revival, and there were many people who received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. About halfway through the revival, there was a whole Baptist delegation of young people, teenagers, and young marrieds that came to check us out. The Spirit of God was rampant in that place. And the altar filled that night, and people began to receive the Holy Ghost. There was a young Baptist man right back there on the aisle. And there's something about his countenance. I didn't really like it. You understand what I'm saying? And the Lord spoke to me and said, go get him. And so I walked back to him, and I said to him, I said, do you believe in Jesus? He said, yes. His attitude was rotten. I said, do you love God? He said, yes. I said, would you like to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I said, no. I said, do you know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He said, yes, and I don't want it. I said, well, would you just pray? My spirit can match yours. The only language some people understand is the kind they dish out. You want to be kind? I can be kind. You want to be rough? I can be rough. And so I said to him, would you just pray? I said, okay. I said, come with me. That's exactly what I wanted him to do. He came down to the altar. I led him like a child. He came down there. He stood. I said, raise your hands. He raised his hands. I said, concentrate upon Jesus. He knitted his eyebrows. I said, close your eyes. He closed his eyes. I said, open your mouth. So he stood there with his mouth hanging open. I said, I want you. I wish you could have seen him. I said, I want you to begin to praise the Lord by saying hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everyone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it again. Hallelujah. Literally, intricately interpreted, the word hallelujah means I give my whole being to Jehovah. Well, the Bible says if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. There's no way in this wide world you can stand with your hands lifted toward heaven, concentrating upon Jesus, standing there saying, I give my whole being to Jehovah, and God ignore you. He's not going to do it. He is magnetized to that. And I knew God would fall on him. And that Baptist boy stood there, and he began to say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I could feel it coming. And the Holy Ghost hit him, and he fell backwards speaking with tongues. He spoke in tongues for 30 minutes. And when he got done speaking with tongues, I looked right in his eyes. I said, now do you believe it? He said, yeah, yeah. We took him to the baptistry. He came out of there throwing water. He stood there and preached to us and told us how wonderful it was, how glorious it was. We already know all about that. We finally dragged him out of there. 11 of those Baptists got the baptism of the Holy Ghost that night. 11 of them were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. There was one Baptist girl, she had jeans on, she had makeup on, and she had come down, and I had seen her crying and praying, but I couldn't get to her. There were too many people to work with. I couldn't get to her. So at the very end of the altar service, she was back there seated, and I went back to her, and I said to her, I apologize because I didn't get to pray with you. I said, did you get what you came for tonight? She said, no, I didn't. I said, would you let me pray with you one more time? She said, yes. I said, well, come down front with me again. So she came down front. I said to her, I said, I want you to stand here. Close your eyes. Fasten your attention upon Jesus. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Give the Lord your voice and praise him by saying hallelujah, hallelujah. And so she did that. And tears were coursing down her cheeks while she did this. But after about 3 or 4 minutes, she was not speaking with tongues. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. And so I stopped her. And that's against our tradition, you know. I stopped her. I said, wait a minute. Have you really repented? Have you told God that you want to give him the rest of your life? That you want to serve him? She says, no, I've never done that. I said, do it. She stood right there and almost mechanically, she said, Jesus, I do want to give you my whole life. I do want to serve you. I do want to live for you. I said, now you'll get the Holy Ghost. She lifted her hands. I'm not exaggerating. She said hallelujah 3 times and burst out speaking with tongues. It just poured out of her. It just began to roll out of her. One Sunday morning in Amsterdam, New York, I was preaching for a little small home missionary work. There was a lovely young couple that had come to the service that morning. I taught a session on the Holy Ghost in Sunday school. This young couple, they were visibly moved by this. And so near the end, I just stopped and pointed to them. I said, would you like what I am talking about? Would you like to have what I'm talking about? They turned to each other and matter-of-factly discussed whether or not they wanted to risk what it was I was talking about. That is a very unusual altar call, wouldn't you say? Finally, they nodded back to me. I said, come right now. They came down front. This man stood there, very fine-looking man, stood there. He did exactly what I told him to do. Again, I knew that God would draw near to him. When he did what I told him to do, the Holy Ghost hit him. He fell sideways and went, ah! If he had known he was going to do that, he would never have come down there. I didn't tell him he was going to do that. But he did it. I straightened him up. He turned around once and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gave him the utterance. God is reaching in the earth tonight for anybody, everybody, that will open their soul to him. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants to save them. I remember years ago when I first went to New York State, one night we were having a service on a Sunday night. There was a little boy who came to the altar, and he was praying. He was just praying, and all of a sudden he began to cry, Micaiah, Micaiah, Micaiah. I didn't know anything about Micaiah. I knew he didn't. And so the pastor's wife said to me, she said, is there a Bible dictionary here? I said, I don't know, but get one. And so they rounded up a Bible dictionary, and they looked up the word Micaiah. It is Hebrew, and it means like unto Jehovah. That child was kneeling there praying, and over again he was saying, Micaiah, Micaiah. His hands were trembling. Tears were streaming down his face. I said to the pastor's wife, this child has got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want you to hear me tonight, one word or 10,000 words. If it's unknown to you by the inspiration of God, it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you need to take that thing and work with it. It will get bigger and bigger and bigger in your life. I put him in my arms. I said, buddy, you keep working with this. It'll get bigger and bigger. Within a week's time, that child was praying in all kinds of languages. It was pouring out of him. They don't have to sound like you and I sounded when we got the Holy Ghost. There are thousands of languages and dialects in existence, plus unknown tongues that come from heaven. If it is unknown to the speaker. I have a distant cousin. Grew up in Iowa. He went to a camp meeting. Brother Pugh was at that camp meeting. This child received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Missionaries were there from South America that spoke Portuguese. My distant nephew, or cousin rather, was speaking in pure, beautiful, fluent Portuguese, had never heard it in his life. And the missionaries came by and got so excited because they could understand everything he was saying. The child was saying, among other things, I am being filled with a river of life. I am being filled with a river of life. I am being filled with a river of life. Let's clap again for the Lord. I Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. When I came into this, my pastor, he meant well. He really did. He used to say to me, he'd say, Brother Lee, he'd say, when you get the Holy Ghost, he said, it just bubbles. He was always saying to me, when you get the Holy Ghost, it just bubbles. Well, I've got the kind of brain that if you tell me something bubbles, that is exactly what I look for. I was looking for something like Alka-Seltzer to happen right here. You understand what I'm saying? I can honestly tell you, after 21 years of having the baptism of the Holy Ghost has never once bubbled in my life. Not once. Someone else said to me when they were trying to get me prayed through, they would say, it's like being plugged into 220. I don't know if I want to be plugged into 220. Someone else says, it's a ball of fire. I never did see a ball of fire. We have so confused people. But when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's one thing I did. I spoke with tongues. I spoke with tongues when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's something else I do. I tell people they've got it. Our traditions say, don't tell them, let them tell us. They may not know what they have. We say Holy Ghost, we know exactly what we're talking about. You say Holy Ghost to the world out there, they do not understand that when we say Holy Ghost, we automatically mean speaking with tongues. I never ask a person, well, after they have spoken with tongues, did you receive the Holy Ghost? I say to them, did you speak words you could not understand? Yes. Yes, my tongue went funny. Something came out. That is the Holy Ghost. Let me show you in the Bible where they got it that way. And I turn to the Bible and show them where they got the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. You have the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, they told them they had it. They said they've got it as well as we. They told them they had it. We had a man come to our camp meeting. He was slain in the spirit. He spoke in tongues, lay in a trance for over an hour. Came out of it, had no idea what happened to him. We told him what happened to him. I was praying with a woman not long ago. She began to speak with tongues fluently, very easily. I stopped her and I said to her, do you speak a foreign language? She said, no. I said, have you ever done this before? She said, no. I said, hurry up, do it again, do it again, do it again. She raised her hands and began to speak with tongues again. In our area, we have prayed them through behind grocery stores, on streets, every place. Because they can get it any place. If you believe it, and you've got a burden, and they feel it. Jesus, I worship you. When I'm praying for people to receive the Holy Ghost, I put my ear down to listen to what they're doing. If a person is standing and they're praying, hallelujah, hallelujah, forget it. They're not going to get the Holy Ghost. Never going to get the Holy Ghost. But you can hear someone praying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They're very dear to the kingdom. It's only a matter of helping them to yield to the Spirit of God. Just a matter of helping them to yield. I can tell by listening to people's voices, and you'll never get it begging. You cannot get the Holy Ghost begging. I stopped someone just the other night and said, you cannot get this begging. Stop begging. You'll never be worthy. Just begin to praise him. And they begin to praise him, and immediately they begin to speak with tongues. When I came into this, they used to say to me, yield. I command you to yield in Jesus' name. Scared me to death. And they would shake me and say, yield. Well, what do you mean yield? I don't know what you mean yield. And they would say, pray, say hallelujah. And I would say hallelujah. I would say hallelujah. They would say Jesus. And I would say Jesus. Someone else would say glory. I can only say one thing at a time. And I'd say this a little while, that a little while. I would pray until 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning to receive the Holy Ghost. That's how I came in Brother Butcher's church in Des Moines, Iowa. We prayed until 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning
And they thought I was very starchy and very stiff and needed all this knocked out of me. And so they would stay with me because they wanted to see God just flatten me. And they wouldn't leave me because they wanted to be there when he smashed me. So the church was worn out. You see what I'm saying? And all the time they were saying, yield, let go. Someone else would say, hold on. How do you let go and hold on at the same time? I would leave there in confusion. In fact, and I had, in the church I used to go to, I was voted the best dressed man in the church. I had all these fine clothes, worldly clothes. But I would go to this Pentecostal church and I'd wear these, don't laugh, you know what I'm saying? And I would wear all these fine clothes and when I got through, everything the next day had to be sent to the cleaners. But I was afraid to wear my old things for fear I'd offend God, he wouldn't give me the Holy Ghost. Finally, I began to pray, God, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost, everything I've got is going to be ruined. Some of you can relate to what I'm saying. I think I know now what they were talking about when they said yield. But before I get into that, I want to talk to you about something else that we do that's wrong. Bad and false testimonies. Have you ever come to church and heard someone stand in testimony service and say, oh, thank God, I have joy all the time? You just lied. Nobody has joy all the time. I don't have joy all the time. Sometimes I'm fighting devils and I feel heavy. I feel pretty good tonight, but I don't always feel like this. And the people who do that are the people that you and I have in the office an hour before church telling us they can't live for God and they got all kinds of problems. You and I are deranged and just all fouled up. And they come out here and stand and say, thank God I have joy all the time. And then someone who just got the Holy Ghost last night thinks, I've had a terrible day. The devil has fought me. I'm not sure if I really spoke with tongues. And they think, I must not have got the Holy Ghost. I didn't have joy all day. You see what we do? I don't have joy all the time. But I'll tell you one thing I do have. No matter how high the waves, no matter how strong the wind, I have peace. I have peace. Peace like a river. I have it. And that's what the Bible said you would have. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. When you're praying with a person to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they begin to lose control of what they're saying, I say to them, let your tongue go. Let your tongue go. Give voice to what you feel. And that's yielding. I'm helping them to yield. We've had this thing backwards all along. It's not the will of God for the baby to travail to be born. It's the will of God for the mother to travail. Not the baby. Not the baby. In an atmosphere of faith and the power of God, sinners should come and receive the Holy Ghost easily. But not just here. Out there where you are. On the job. Any place. Every place. In Jesus' name. And I close with this. In one revival, and if you can grasp this and begin to do it, there's no telling what will happen. There's no telling what will happen if you begin to really witness to them and to really emanate the power of the Holy Ghost to them. I was in Twin Falls, Idaho, 3 or 4 months ago, and after about 3 nights, the place came unglued. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was such a move of God. We started at Sunday at 6 o'clock. It was still going at 11 o'clock at night. Those young people went out after church to the Pizza Hut. One group did. They still had their tambourines in their hands when they walked through the door of the Pizza Hut. They didn't really plan on it, I don't think. They were still there. When they got in through the door, the Holy Ghost moved on those boys, and they lifted those tambourines and shouted and began to shake them and began to dance in the Spirit. The place was packed, and the power of God hit all of those young people, and they began to dance in the Spirit at the entrance of the Pizza Hut. The people were absolutely, as they say in everyday common vernacular, blown away. The manager came running. He said, "What is this?" And they stopped and said, "We've just come from a Pentecostal revival. People are being filled with the Holy Ghost. People are being healed." The manager reached to them with emotion in his face and said, "This is what I need. This is what I need." Another group went across town, and when they went across town, the same thing happened to them. Brother Picklesheimer told me, the pastor, he said, "Brother Stone King, we did more good in this city in one night out there in those places of eating than we've ever done in all the years we've canvassed and witnessed." He said, "We let them see what the power of the Holy Ghost is really all about. There will come a day, friend of mine, you'll build a building that will seat 6,000 and you will fill it, but there's coming a day when you'll never build a building big enough to house it, because this thing in the last day is going to go to the street. It is going to go out there. They need to see us dance. They need to see us shout and worship the Lord. They need to feel the wind of the Holy Ghost, the sound of the rushing mighty wind. They need to see the demonstration of the Spirit of God and power." On the streets in Kingston, Jamaica, over 2,000 people came and stood for 6 hours to hear the preaching of the Word of God. 35 adults received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the street. They need to see this. I've had people say to me, "Stone King, you're going way out on a limb." That's all right. It's on the end of the limb where the real fruit is. It's a little shaky out there, but God will make it all right. If you hug the trunk of the tree, all you're ever going to have in your life is the rotten fruit that the wind blows off. But if you'll climb out to the end of the limb, there's where the real fruit is. And I'm trying to get you to go out on a limb tonight. You've got nothing to lose but your reputation. You have nothing but what God gave you. He can take it just like that. You ought to try everything that's in this book. Not just me as a preacher, but you as a saint, as a Sunday school teacher. You ought to get this thing together, and you ought to do something with it. You'll never be the same. Never. You cannot be. One little boy I was praying with, one Sunday morning, I did a child evangelism session. Several children in Sunday school got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This little boy, near the end of the service, he was praying so fervently. I went to him. I put one hand on his chest and one hand on his back. And he was praying. He was so close to the Holy Ghost. And I said to him, I just felt like if he'd just pray a little bit harder, he'd get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so I whispered in his ear, I said, "Honey, give it all you got." I shall never forget this. He put his hands down. He opened his eyes. He turned and looked at me and said, "I'm doing the best I can." I lost my anointing. I lost my composure. I've never had anybody say that to me before. I said, okay. Put your hands up again. Close your eyes and keep doing the best you can. And about 5 minutes doing the best he could, he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. All I'm asking you to do is do the best you can. If you will do the best you can, God will reach down and he will take a hold of the best that you can do. And he will give you something that you've never, ever had before. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm tired of having church. I'm tired of camp meetings. I'm tired of a lot of things. I want something to happen among us. I want something to happen until they carry people out drunk on the Spirit, until they cannot wait to get to church, until the Spirit of God slays them in the aisles. It will only happen when you and I take what God has given us and begin to invest this talent in something else, and all of a sudden the usury will begin to come. There's a great dividend here tonight for the individual that will say, I want to be used by God. I don't want to live a normal Christian life. I want to be used by God. He said, I will give unto you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I want you to stand. I want you to say hallelujah for just a moment. Say it again. Say it again. Hallelujah. 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 God is speaking to some of you who are here in this place tonight. Let's clap for the Lord again for just a moment and praise Him by saying, Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let me have your attention for just a moment. Is there anybody here tonight? You may believe in Jesus, you may love God, but you've never ever spoken with tongues anywhere in your life. Are there people here tonight who have never ever spoken with tongues anywhere in your life? Would you raise your hand? Don't be afraid. There's one. You could get it very easily. There's one there. 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 There's someone praising God over there. Are there others? There's someone pointing to someone over there. There's one there. How many of you who believe in Jesus, who love God, who have never spoken with tongues any place in your Christian experience, but you would like to? You'd like to have what I'm talking about tonight. There's one. There's one. Would you like to have the Holy Ghost? Don't be afraid. It's so easy to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God wants you to have this. You could get it so easily. Those of you who would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, just simply come from where you are and stand right here. Don't kneel, because you kneel in your heart. It's too hard to work with you when you kneel. Just stand. If you will just stand right there, come as you are. Are there others that want the baptism of the Holy Ghost? There comes a man right there. There comes a woman with him. Don't be afraid. Here comes a man right here. And you ought to come. You really ought to come. There are people here tonight who need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are there others who need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? If you will simply raise your hands and begin to worship the Lord, give the Lord your voice and praise Him by saying, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. Here come others. Those of you who know how to pray, come and stand behind these that are here. Lay your hands upon them and pray for them in the wonderful name of Jesus. Those of you who are here, lift your hands and begin to praise the Lord and worship Him by saying, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah.